الحمد لله رب العالمين، حمد عباده الذاكرين الشاكرين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We continue on our study of the stars in the sky of Islam, the bright stars that led the way for the generations of Muslims to follow, the true heroes of Islam, the role models that to be followed in our religion. And it was only natural, after studying the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his seerah, and then studying the life and the biography of his first successor and his first companion, the first Muslim Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, is to follow with the second successor, the second Khalifa, the man that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the hadith that is authenticated in both al-Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ مِنَ الْأُمَمِ مُحَدَّثُونَ. وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ مِنَ الْأُمَمِ مُحَدَّثُونَ فَإِيَّكُ فِي أُمَّتِي أَحَدٌ فَإِنَّهُ عُمَرٌ. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as it is authenticated in al-Bukhari and Muslim, as we said, from the nations before you, there were people that are inspired, like talked to by inspiration from Allah. Not wahi, not revelation from Allah, not direct revelation, but they have an inspiration. They do the right thing, they get this hunch, but it's an inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, if one of them is in my nation, in this ummah, it would be Umar. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the known Sahabi, said about Umar, كان إسلام عمر فتحا وكانت هجرته نصرا وكانت إمارته رحمة. That his Islam, his entry into Islam, was fathan, was a conquest to the Muslims, was a day that Muslims became dignified more by the Islam of Umar. The strength got better. And hijratuhu, and his immigration, was a victory to Islam. Wa imaratuhu, and his rule, the time of his rule, was a time of mercy to the Muslim ummah. This is Umar. Umar is from Quraysh. He's from a family, a clan of Quraysh called Bani Adi. His name is Umar ibn al-Khattab, the son of al-Khattab, the son of Nufail, the son of Abdul Uzza ibn Rabah. And he meets with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one of their great grandfather called Ka'b ibn Lu'ay. And when we started studying the seerah, we talked about some people that knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, but they did not know how to worship him. One of these people was Amr ibn Nufail that we talked about. And this man, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said he would be resurrected as a nation by himself, because he deserted the idols, yet he did not have a message to follow. And this man is the uncle of Umar ibn al-Khattab. His Umar ibn al-Khattab ibn Nufail, and that other person is Amr ibn Nufail. So he's the brother of his father. In his family, there are many known people in Islam, but there are also some known people on the other camp, with the pagans. His mother, Umar ibn al-Khattab's mother, her name was Hantama bint Hisham. Now her brother is Amr ibn Hisham. Amr ibn Hisham is Abu Jahl. So Abu Jahl is his uncle on his mother's side. One of his cousins is Sa'id ibn Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail. Amr ibn Nufail, this man I was telling you about, the man that worshipped Allah, had a son, his name is Zayd, and another son, his son is Sa'id ibn Zayd. Sa'id ibn Zayd is one of the 10 that are given the glad tidings of paradise, one of the early Muslims, one of the Ashra al-Mubashareen bil-Jannah. So that was Umar ibn al-Khattab's cousin, Sa'id ibn Zayd. At the same time, he is his sister's husband, so his brother-in-law. Sa'id ibn Zayd married Fatima bint al-Khattab. So we see he came from a family with many known stars or otherwise in the sky of Islam. Umar ibn al-Khattab was born 13 years after the year of the elephant, Aam al-Fil, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. So he's 13 years younger than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was described in the history books as a large, tall man. When you see him and among people, you feel like he's he's riding on some type of animal, like as if he stands out in the crowd because he was a large, big man. And it also, the scholar says that it was him and Khalid ibn al-Walid. When you look at the crowd, they come and both of them, they just stand out in the crowd. He was white-complected with rosy complexion on his face. He had large hands, large feet, wide shoulders, and he was bald. He was bald, did not have much hair. And when he later on, his beard became gray hair, he became white, he used to dye it with henna, and it would be red. And he had his mustache on the both sides, had long hair. And whenever he's angry or he's thinking about something, he would hold into it and start playing with it. And that's how people knew that he was into some serious matter. And he was described as إذا مشى أسرع وإذا تكلم أسمع وإذا ضرب أوجع. Now when he walks, he's very fast. He's got a steady step and very fast. When he talks, his voice was very loud. And everybody would hear Umar when Umar talks. And when he hits somebody, when he beats somebody, then that man is in pain. That he means it when he does all of that. It's in the book Tahdhib al-Asma, and it's in different books, and it's all written later on from the people that knew him. So most of these physique is known from before and after, actually.
So it's the change of the question. The reason I ask is you talked about the description about the mustache.
Now the mustache, the hadith about the mustache is you cut the mustache, but we're talking about the sides of the mustache.
Okay.
These sides, not above the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Not above the mouth. Above the mouth you have to cut it short so it wouldn't come down to your lips. So he did not go against the hadith, if that's what you're asking. Yes. And if we are to talk about his family, Umar ibn al-Khattab had multiple wives in his life. And before Islam, he had married Zainab bint Maz'un, who is the sister of the known Sahabi Uthman ibn Maz'un. She gave him three children: Abdullah, Abdurrahman, Al-Akbar, and Hafsa. Now Umar had a habit, and you will see that he will name his children with similar names. So he would have Abdurrahman Al-Akbar, Abdurrahman Al-Awsat, and Abdurrahman Al-Asghar. He will have like three Abdurrahman in his family. The greater Abdurrahman, the middle Abdurrahman, and the junior Abdurrahman. He will have also Zayd the Great, Zayd the Middle, and Zayd etc. So he had multiple children, but with similar names. He liked some names, and he stuck with them. So Zainab bint Maz'un had Abdullah and Abdurrahman Akbar, the greater, and Hafsa. Hafsa is the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umm al-Mu'mineen. Mulaikat ibn Jarwal is one of his wives, and she gave one child to him, Ubaydullah. And then he had divorce with her. Then Qurayba bint Abi Umayya al-Makhzumi, and he did not have any children from her. And then Ummu Hakim bint al-Harith ibn Hisham, and she used to be married to Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, and then he was killed in one of the conquests of Al-Sham, and Umar married her to honor her. And then Jamilat ibn Asim ibn Thabit, Atika bint Zayd bint Amr ibn Nufail from his family. And he married finally Ummu Kulthum, the daughter of Ali ibn Abi Talib. That Ali ibn Abi Talib gave his daughter in marriage to Umar ibn al-Khattab. And in that there is great evidence that there has really not been a conflict personally between Ali ibn Abi Talib and Umar ibn al-Khattab. And otherwise Ali would not give his daughter in marriage to Umar ibn al-Khattab. And he had two children from her, Zayd and Ruqayyah. Luhya is another wife of his, and she gave him one Abdul Rahman, and there's a conflict in history whether he's Abdul Rahman in the middle or Abdul Rahman Jr., but one of them was from this woman, and she's from Yemen. He has 13 children.
Daughter of Ali by whose, which wife?
Pardon me?
Ali's daughter by which wife?
She was number six. He divorced some of them.
Right.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is Ali's wife, which wife was it that had that child?
Umm Kulthum, not Fatima. Al-Hanafiyya, she's another wife that Ali married. And he has Muhammad and Umm Kulthum from her. Yeah, that's a good question. As we know, Ali was married to Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet. This is not the daughter of the daughter of the Prophet.
This was an early marriage.
Right. They did. So he had 13 children. Zayd al-Akbar, Zayd the greatest, or the great, or the oldest, Zayd al-Asghar, and Zayd the junior. Asim, Abdullah, three Abdurrahmans, Ubaidullah, Iyad, Hafsa, Ruqayyah, Zainab, and Fatima. And he had the total of seven wives. And in that there is something that he mentioned. They asked him about why marrying and remarrying and divorcing. They asked him, Amir al-Mu'mineen, what's the deal with that? Why do you do that too much? And then, may Allah be pleased with him, said, and this hadith is actually narrated by both al-Bukhari and Muslim about Umar. He said, مَا آتِ النِّسَاءَ لِلشَّهْوَةِ. It is not my desires that I marry for. I don't marry to please myself. وَلَوْلَا الْوَلَدُ مَا بَالَيْتُ أَنْ أَرَى امْرَأَةً بِعَيْنِي. It's only to have more children. And that's why I get married and I want to have more wives so I can have more children. And if it's not for that, then I don't really want any more women in my life. His life before Islam is what we start with, inshallah, today, and we go on into his Islam and then his life with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His life before Islam, he was a person in Quraysh, but he had an advantage in Quraysh that he was a literate man. He knew how to read and how to write. He had a rough childhood. His father, Al-Khattab, was known as a very tough man. And the way he raised his children, he wanted his children to be tough, to be able to live up to the tough life of Arabia, the tribal, tough life, competitive life. And he raised them in a very rough way. And this is what Umar ibn al-Khattab has told later on about his childhood. His father made him work early in life as a shepherd to mind the sheep around Mecca and mind the camels around Mecca. And one time, Abdurrahman ibn Hatib narrated that he was with Umar ibn al-Khattab in an area called Dajnan, and it's a place around Mecca, a valley around Mecca. And Umar looked at him and he said, كنت أرعى للخطاب بهذا المكان وكان فضا غليظا. I used to be a shepherd in this valley, in this place. And the one that I worked for was my father. And he was rough and he was violent. فَكُنْتُ أَرْعَى أَحْيَانًا وَأَحْتَطِبُ أَحْيَانًا. I was a wood gatherer and a shepherd for my father. And then in another time on Sa'id ibn Musayyib, he said, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. He said he was Khalifa. At that time, Umar was the ruler of the Muslim Ummah that spread in his days into beyond Arabia, into the entire Persia and most of Sham, and into Africa. So he was basically the most powerful ruler of the known world at that time. And he was making Hajj, and he stopped by that valley where he used to be a shepherd when he was a child. And he said, La ilaha illallahu al-aliyyu al-azim. Al-mu'ti ma sha'a liman sha'a. كنت أرعى إبل الخطاب بهذا الوادي في مدرعة صوف وكان فضة يتعبني إذا عملت ويضربني إذا قصرت وقد أنسيت ليس بيني وبين الله أحد. In this hadith, Umar said, La ilaha illallah. He is the Almighty. He is the greatest. He gives whatever He wants to whomever He pleases. Allah does. I used to be a shepherd in this valley. And I worked for my father, who used to beat me. And he used to work me until I'm tired, I'm exhausted. And here I am today. There is nobody between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth. There is nobody that has an authority upon me in this earth. He was the ruler of whatever he wants. And he said, this is all the pleasure and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how he has changed. So he had a rough childhood where he was beaten. He was worked really hard early. I mean, child labor, if you will, early age. One time when he was emir, he always reminded himself and reminded everybody else around him, his subjects, with this childhood, to let them know who he was. One time, Umar ibn Khattab came to the minbar and called upon the Muslims to come and hear him, and he came up on the minbar. And he hamad Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praised Allah, and he said, Ayyuhal nas, O people, they were waiting for, he was the Khalifa speaking, they were waiting for a major speech, and he said, لقد رأيتني أرعى على خالات لي من بني مخزوم فيقبضن لي قبضة من تمر أو زبيب فأظل يومي وأي يوم ثم نزل. He said, I used to work all day as a shepherd for my aunts from the people of Makhzoom, and they would give me a fistful of dates or raisins as my day wage. And he came down from the minbar. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf stopped him and he said, Wallahi ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, ma zi'ta illa an qamma'ta nafsak. You did nothing but humiliated yourself with this speech. I mean, why did you gather us for this? He said, Ya Abdul Rahman, Abdul Rahman. When I was by myself and I heard myself talking to myself and myself was telling me, Anta Amir al-Mu'mineen, faman dha afdalu mink? You are Amir al-Mu'mineen. You are the commander of the faithful. You are the ruler of Islam. Who is better than you? So I felt arrogance started coming into me. I felt my soul is starting tasting this glory of being the ruler. So I wanted to tell her who she is, to tell myself who myself is, and I wanted to remind it of its past. So I wanted everybody to know who I was. I'm just a shepherd in Mecca, and my daily wage is a fistful of dates. This is how much humbleness and humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and before his own subjects he was. May Allah be pleased with him. This roughness though, this way that he was raised up, gave him a lot of good attributes that helped him in his life and helped him later in Islam and helped him as a ruler, as a khalifa for Muslims. He, as a shepherd, he knew the honesty. He knew humbleness. He knew how to take care of others, whether they're sheep or later on the nation of Islam. And we know most of the prophets, or all the prophets according to the hadith, at one time they were shepherds in a way. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches them that way, how to take care of others and how to mind others. And his life in the desert taught him how to be a strong man physically, helped him to become physically strong. So he knew how to wrestle very well. He was a good horseman. He was a good horseman, and he also knew poetry very well, and his speech was very eloquent, that his language was so strong, learning it from the people of the desert, which had mastered the language and did not mix it with other dialects. It was the pure Arabic was from the desert, and that's why the people of Mecca used to send their children to the desert for several years to grow up there so they can come back to Mecca and their tongue would be very eloquent with Arabic. So he was there. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his early day. Later on, after this childhood that was rough, and after he was a shepherd for 4 years, when he grew up, he became a merchant. Now, most of the people of Mecca are traders. They are merchants by profession and trade. And he did well. And he was one of the people, the rich people in Mecca. He was well-to-do. And he did the traveling into Asham into where Greater Syria is today, and in the time of winter, and we will go down to Yemen, to the Yemen in the time of summer. It's the other way around. To Asham in the summer and to Yemen in the winter. And he came from a family that was known of good judgment and justice. And we know how justice that family he grew up in, subhanAllah, Allah puts people where they learn things that are very important to them. His grandfather, Abdul Uzza, Nufail ibn Abdul Uzza, the father of Amr ibn Nufail, he was a judge in Quraysh. When Quraysh would have a conflict, in those older days, they would come to Nufail ibn Abdul Uzza because of his justice and his righteousness at that time. He knew no right from wrong. And Umar inherited that also from his great-grandfather. And this Nufail ibn Abdul Uzza, was well known in Arabia that when he died, they started the calendar at the year of his death until the year of the field. Then they started the calendar of the year of the field. So they used to date with the death of Nufail ibn Abdul Uzza, that he was very well known before Islam. Umar himself was also, people would come to him for a certain judgment before Islam even. If some conflicts, they would go to Umar and they would know that they will get the right thing. Umar was also, before Islam, used as an ambassador for Quraysh. When Quraysh wants to send somebody to another tribe to negotiate a deal, a treaty, some type of a conflict, they would send Umar. He was one of the ambassadors that Quraysh, the elite of Quraysh, used before Islam. Umar believed in the Qurayshi society. He believed in the structure of Quraysh. And he was involved in this, as we said, as a sort of a judge, as an ambassador. He was from the elite of Quraysh, and he was from the fighters of Quraysh. And his nature was very sincere. When he believes in something, he would adopt it and defend it to the max. And that when Islam came to destroy the structure of Quraysh, the wrong structure of Quraysh, Umar found that as a threat. And Umar opposed it. And Umar, when he believed in something, he would believe in it to the max. But when he opposes something, he would also, as sincere, he was wrong, sincere, but he was very wrong, sincerely. But yet he was sincere in his fighting against Islam. And that's why when Islam came, Umar ibn al-Khattab declared animosity towards the Muslim, that he saw in them a threat to the society of Quraysh, to the system that was prevailing at that time. And he participated very eagerly in fighting this new religion and torturing the Muslims. He had a slave, a lady, in his house, and he would torture her until he gets tired. And then he would apologize to her and tell her that I'm just stopping your torture not because I'm tired. So forgive me, we'll do it tomorrow. And he will come back and torture her again. And then he would, when he finishes with her, if he still had strength, he would go and volunteer in torturing other slaves for other families. Just, he really opposed this Islam in a major way. And Umar knew when he came into Islam later on, he had a famous saying, for those who were raised as a Muslim, he knew what a jahiliyyah is. He knew what the days of ignorance were, and he lived it and he fought for it. Then he became 180 degrees into Islam later on when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that gift and opened his heart to it. And that's when he said, إِنَّمَا تُنْقَبُ عُرَى الْإِسْلَامُ عُرْوَةً عُرْوَةً إِذَا نَشَأَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ مَنْ لَا يَعْرِفُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ That those who were raised as Muslims from the day they were born, they have to actually explore Islam one by one, because they will not know the difference like the people that had a different religion before coming into Islam. He said that he had an advantage knowing what no Islam means, over the people that were raised. As long later on in his life, he saw the generation that came later on, born and raised in Islam. And he said they have to explore Islam one layer after the other, and they have to work on it because they don't know what it is not to be a Muslim, while he knew. And he always would feel that difference. So how did this enemy of Islam, if you will, how did he become a Muslim? How did Islam enter the heart of Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him? According to the scholars and historians, that the first time that Umar ibn al-Khattab started having some leniency towards Muslim is when he saw his one of his family members, his cousin, was a lady, and she was packing, and he saw her walking on outside Mecca with her luggage, with her stuff, like she's leaving. And he knew that Muslims started fleeing to Avicenna, to Al-Habasha, to where Ethiopia is today. And this lady was Ummu Abdullah ibn Hantam, bintu Hantama. And he looked at her and he said, إِنَّهُ الْإِنْطُلَاقُ يَا أُمَّ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. It is leaving? Are you leaving, Ya Umma Abdullah? Are you leaving? And she looked at him and she said, Na'am. Yes, we are leaving. Wallahi lanakhrujanna fi ardillah. We are going to the land of Allah, to the land of God. Adaytumuna, you hurt us. Waqahartumuna, and you persecuted us. Hatta yaj'alullahu lana faraja. And we are seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so we would escape from your oppression. And Umar, she expected Umar to slap her or hold her or do something to hurt her. Instead, Umar looked at her and he was sad to see his own family now started leaving Mecca. And he said, Sahibatkum as-salam. May Allah keep you safe on your journey. She was stunned by this. So when her husband, Amir ibn Rabi'ah, met her outside Mecca on the way to Al-Habasha, and she said, let me tell you what happened. I saw Umar, and I told them that we are leaving your oppression, and we are going to practice our religion in a different place. And he actually let me go and prayed for me. So Amir looked at his wife, and he said, كَأَنَّكِ قَدْ طَمِعْتِ فِي إِسْلَامِ عُمَرِ. I see that you may be hopeful that he may become a Muslim. And she said, yes, I hoped at that moment that he may become one. He said, hayhata, hayhata, ya Umma Abdullah. Where? No, it's far. Why are you dreaming? He said, if the jackass of Al-Khattab, if the donkey of Al-Khattab become a Muslim, Umar will not become a Muslim. If the animals in the house of Al-Khattab become Muslims, Umar, there is no way Umar can become a Muslim. Don't you see what he's doing to us? Don't you see how much he tortures us? And she said, wallahi, this is what I felt. I just hoped that he may become a Muslim. Umar ibn al-Khattab was very stressed at that time. And he felt that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the cause of all this. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making his own family leave. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making people of Quraysh enemies to people of Quraysh. Going into the same family and making father torturing children and children fleeing the houses. And he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the root for all of this. He said, I have to solve the problem. So he got himself on a suicidal mission. He wanted to kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Quraysh gathered in Dar al-Nadwa, where they gather, and they said, we have only one solution. It's just to kill this man. But everybody is afraid of Bani Hashim. Bani Hashim is an honorable, big tribe in Quraysh, and they have enough strength to defend themselves and to defend their own. So whoever kills Muhammad will be killed. And Umar said, أَنَا لَهَا. I will take this mission. It was to him, he will be killed fine. But he wants just to resolve this issue and kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet at the same time, he was praying for something else. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma a'izzal islami, islama bi ahabbir rajulayni ilayk. أبي جهل بن هشام أو بعمر بن الخطاب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen Islam with either Amr ibn Hisham, Abu Jahl, or Umar ibn al-Khattab. And in one narration, بأحد العمرين. Because one of them is Amr and the other one is Umar. And he said, may Allah give us one of these two Umars. Either Amr ibn Hisham, and they're both from Bani Adi. They're both from this same tribe. One is, Amr ibn Hisham is the uncle of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Allah to give him, to give to Islam the one that he loves the most. The person that he loves the most of these two. And subhanallah, it was Umar. So Umar was planning to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was planning so Allah would guide Umar to the truth. However, Umar got his sword and got ready for his mission, for his suicidal mission, and he got ready and walked on his way to find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People gave Umar the news that the people are gathering with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a house of Bani al-Arqam, of al-Arqam ibn Abi al-Arqam, which is close to the hill of As-Safa in Mecca today when people make the sa'i. And the dar of Bani al-Arqam was close to that place. And Umar got straight and he wanted to go into the dar of Bani al-Arqam and fulfill his mission and kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In his way, a man sahabi saw him and his name was Nu'aym ibn Abdullah al-Naham. Nu'aym saw Umar and he saw the fire in his face. He saw the anger and he saw the sword in his hand. And he knew that Umar is up to no good. And asked him, إِلَىٰ أَيْنَ يَا Umar? Where are you going, Umar? He said, أُرِيدُ هَذَا الصَّابِعُ. I want that rebel. Meaning the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. الَّذِي فَرَّقَ أَمْرَ قُرَيْشِ. The one who divided Quraysh. وَسَفَّهَ أَحْلَامَهَا. And ridiculed its gods, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَعَابَ دِينَهَا. And he shamed its religion, the religion of Quraysh. وَسَبَّ آلِهَتَهَا فَأَقْتُلَهُ. That who ridicules the gods, I will go in and I'll kill him. And Nu'aym was scared. That when he knows Umar is strong enough to do it, and Umar is determined enough to do it, and he feared for the life of the Prophet that he loved. So he said, لَبِئْسَ الْمَمْشَى مَشَيْتَ يَا عُمَرْ. وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ غَرَّتْكَ نَفْسُكَ مِنْ نَفْسِكَ. No, no, Umar, this is the wrong thing to do. You are just too arrogant about your strength. وَفَفَرَّطَ وَأَرَدْتَ هَلَكَةَ بَنِي عَدِي. He said, think about your family, about your clan, about Bani Adi. That if you kill Muhammad, أَتَرَى بَنِي عَبْدِ مَنَافٍ تَارِكِيكَ تَمْشِي عَلَى الْأَرْضِ وَقَدْ قَتَلْتَ مُحَمَّدًا. Do you think the people of Abd Manaf will leave you walk on the face of the earth? After you kill Muhammad, they will come and kill you. They will come and kill people from your tribe. So you're gonna make the people of Quraysh start killing each other. Just think about what you're doing, Umar. And they started arguing. And Umar said, after arguing with them, he said, إِنِّي لَأَظُنُّكَ قَدْ صَبَوْتُ. I think you are a rebel also. Maybe you are a Muslim as well. Maybe that's why you are defending Muhammad. And he was. He was a Muslim that nobody knew. And he said, if I know you are a Muslim, I will start with you. I will kill you before I kill Muhammad. Naham felt that he wants to do something. He just wants to buy some time. So he can go to warn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to hide. Because he knew that Umar was heading in the right direction to the Bani al-Arqam house. And Naham said, فَإِنِّي أُخْبِرُكَ أَنَّ أَهْلَكَ وَأَهْلَ خَتْنِكَ قَدْ أَسْلَمُوا وَقَدْ تَرَكُوكَ وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ ضَلَالَتِكَ. That let me tell you, that your own family has become Muslims. That your brother-in-law, that your sister and her husband, Fatima bint al-Khattab and Sa'id ibn Zayd, became Muslims. And they left you alone with what you want to do in your misguidance. Umar said, are you serious? وَأَيُّهُمْ قَالَ خَتْنَكَ وَابْنُ عَمِّكَ وَأُخْتُكَ. Your cousin, your brother-in-law, Sa'id ibn Zayd, and your sister, Fatima. Umar was stunned with the news that now Islam came to his own family and his own house, and he rushed to his sister's house. So the plan of Nu'aym bought him some time, and Nu'aym went to warn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims as Umar is coming to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Umar led himself to his sister's house. And Umar, when he reached the house of Sa'id ibn Zayd and Fatima, his sister, they had a teacher among them, Khabbab ibn al-Arat. Now Khabbab is known as the one that is probably was tortured the most among the Sahaba in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he was small. And he was, he did not have anybody to protect him, and he was a little man. But he knew how to read Qur'an very well, and he was a teacher of Qur'an. So he was in the house of Sa'id bin Zayd teaching him and his wife Qur'an, while Umar ibn Khattab was banging on the door. Fatima knew it right away that this is her brother, because he was so strong that when he hit the door, everybody knows that this is Umar knocking. It was unmistakable when Umar ibn Khattab knocks on the door. And she said, Ibn al-Khattab, this is my brother. This is Umar. This is Umar. Khabbab ran and hid. They hid Khabbab first, because he can smash Khabbab if he sees him. That he will be the first casualty. So they hid Khabbab. And as they were gathering everything, they opened the door to Umar, and there was a page of Quran, Sahifa, leather folding of Quran, and she took it and she hid it under her leg. Because she was in rush after they hit Khabbab. Umar came and he said, مَا هَذِهِ الْهَيْمَنَةُ وَالصَّوْتُ الْخَفِيِّ الَّذِي عِنْدَكُمْ. What is this noise from your house? What is this tone from your house? The Quran that he heard outside. And they said, we were chatting. مَا كَانَ إِلَّا حَدِيثًا. We were just chatting among ourselves. And that's what you heard. Umar said, فَلَعَلَّكُمَا قَدْ صَبَوْتُمَا. Have you embraced Islam? Are you rebels against the religion of Quraysh? And Sa'id ibn Zayd looked at his Umar. Sa'id ibn Zayd, his cousin, looked at him and he said, أَرَأَيْتَ يَا عُمَرْ إِذَا كَانَ الْحَقُّ فِي غَيْرِ دِينِكَ. Ya Umar, what if the truth was in something else other than your religion? What if your religion is not the true religion that you're following? What if you are wrong? And Umar came and hit him. What are you talking about? Religion, other than the religion of Quraysh? And they started fighting. Sa'id ibn Zayd started fighting with his cousin and his brother-in-law, Umar. But Umar was much stronger than Sa'id. So he got on top of him and he put Sa'id on the floor and he sat on top of him and started hitting Sa'id. Now Fatima, his sister, came to save her husband and to try to protect him from the wrath of Umar. And Umar hit her with the back of his hand and the blood started coming out of her face. Umar looks at his sister and he sees what he has done so far. He's came to this house, he's hitting his cousin and he hit his sister and she's bleeding and it's just too much. And he loved his sister and he stopped. And she looked at him and she said, Ya Adu Allah, O enemy of Allah, أتضربني على أن أوحد الله? Are you hitting me because I say Allah is one? Is this what you're hitting me for? What did I do to you? And he looked at her and he said, Na'am, yes, that's why I'm hitting you, because you're saying Allah is one. And she said, مَا كُنْتَ فَاعِلًا فَفْعَلْ. Do what you want. Do what you want with me. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. Said it to the face of her strong brother. Now women in Quraysh were subdued, were oppressed. And here is Umar was taken by how dare she talk to him like this, and yet she is now declaring her Islam in front of his face while she's bleeding. She cares nothing. He can kill her and she could care less. Umar was taken even more by this position of his sister. And she said, she continued on, she said, لَقَدْ أَسْلَمْنَا رَغْمَ أَنْفِكَ. We have become Muslim despite you. فَلَمَّا سَمِعَهَا عُمَرْ نَدَمْ. And Umar stood up and he let her husband go. And he starts feeling some mercy in his heart towards his sister. And he said, أعطوني هذه الصحيفة. Give me this page of Quran. Let me read. He is a literate man. He knows how to read. I mean, let me see what's in there. What made you, Fatima, be what you are right now? So defiant for this sahifa. Let me read it. Let me see what's in it. She said, no, I will not give it to you. Umar said, وَيْحَكِ قَدْ وَقَعَ فِي قَلْبِنَا قُلْتِ فَفْعَلِي. I'm not going to do anything. This is coming. I want to just see what's in the sahifa. I want to see what's in this page. So give it to me. And she said, no. And he said, أَعْطِنِيهَا أَنْظُرْ إِلَيْهَا. Just give it to me, I will see it. I will not rip it. وَأَعْطِيكِ مِنَ الْمَوَاثِيقِ أَلَّا أَخُونَكِ حَتَّى تُحْرِزِيهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتِ. I give you my promise, my pledge, that I will not do anything to this page that you're trying to protect until you take it safely to wherever you want. I gave you a promise that I will not rip it. She was afraid that he will take this Quran and he will rip it apart. And then she said, even that I will not do. You have to go wash yourself, because you're a dirty pagan. And you have to wash yourself first, then I'll let you take this Quran and look at it. So he came up, and he cooled himself with this water, and he washed up. And then he came, and he took this page, and he looked at it. And he reads, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلى الرحمن على العرش استوى له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى وإن تجهر بالقول فإنه يعلم السر وأخفى الله لا إله إلا هو له الأسماء الحسنى. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. He said, طه, we did not reveal Quran to you to be oppressed by it, to be tortured by it. It is only a reminder for those who are fearful of Allah. It is descended, revealed from the one who created the earth and the heavens above. Ar-Rahman, on the throne, he is raised. To him belong all what's in the heavens and what on earth and what's between heaven and earth and what's under the earth. And if you say it publicly, he knows it, but he also knows the secrets in your heart. Allah, there is no Allah but him, and to him is the beautiful names and attributes. Umar looked at this and he said, من هذا فرت قريش. From this Quraysh is running away. From these words, Quraysh is running away. And then he continued until he reached, إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا لِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا تَسْعَى فَلَا يَصُدَّنَّكَ عَنْهَا مَنْ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِهَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ فَتَرْدَى. Until he reached, إِنَّنِي أَنَ اللَّهُ, indeed I am Allah, there is no God but me, فَعْبُدْنِي, so worship me, and go up in prayer, in salah for me, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in طه. إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةَ, the final hour is indeed coming, أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا, and I am hiding it, لِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا تَسْعَى, so every soul will be accountable and will be rewarded or punished with its own deeds. فَلَا يَصُدَّنَّكَ عَنْهَا مَنْ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِهَا. Do not let those who do not believe in this final hour prevent you from believing in it, and let them follow their own desires, and they will go astray. And then Umar silenced and thought, and he said, يَنْبَغِي لِمَنْ يَقُولُ هَذَا أَلَّا يُعْبَدَ مَعَهُ أَحَدًا غَيْرًا. The one who says these words, indeed, he should not have partners in worship. These are not the words of man. These are the words of the One and Almighty. He said, دُلُّونِي عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ. Take me to Muhammad. Khabbab, when he heard this between Fatima, Sa'id and Umar, he came out of hiding. He showed himself to Umar now. And he said, فَإِنِّي أَرْجُو قَدْ سَبَقَتْ فِيكَ دَعْوَةُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. I hope and I pray to Allah that it is the prayer of the Prophet that he said, Allahumma a'izzal Islama bi ahabbi hadhayn ar-rajulayn ilayk, Abu Jahl ibn Hisham or Umar ibn al-Khattab. He said, the Prophet said, may Allah glorify and support Islam with one of these two men, Amr ibn Hisham or Umar ibn al-Khattab. Then Umar said, take me to the Prophet, take me to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then after this encounter, they knew that he was truthful. Now he will not harm the Prophet. So Khabbab said, I will take you. I will take you to where the Prophet is. Umar, of course, had his sword with him. He still had his sword with him. He was ready to go on this suicidal mission and kill the Prophet. But now he's going to the Prophet to declare Islam, but nobody else knew that. And then he got to the house of Bani al-Arqam and he banged on the door. Now he did not bang rudely, but this is the way he bangs. That's just him. And they shook the house when he knocked on the door and the Sahaba were scared. This is Umar. This is the knock of Umar. They didn't know what to do. There are only few of them. Indeed, at that day there are only 39 Muslims on the face of the earth. That was it. 39 people. And according to some scholars, it was the third year after Bertha. And to some scholars, it's the sixth year after Bertha. So, few Muslims, a large man, knocking on the door. And they were scared, they were stunned, what to do? And Hamza said, who is this? And they said, Umar. He said, I will take him. And if he comes here with evil intentions, I will kill him with his own sword. Hamza Asadullah. And that was the third day of Hamza as a Muslim only. Hamza was a new Muslim as well. And he said, I'll take care of Umar. The Prophet said, no, I'll take care of Umar. Umar for me, leave him to me, I will take care of him. So the Prophet came up to Umar, opened the door. Umar walks in and the Prophet ﷺ holds Umar with his own clothes, with his own robe, and he shake him. And he shake Umar. And he said, ma ja'a bika ya ibn al-Khattab. Why are you coming here, son of Khattab? Wallahi ma ara an tantahi hatta yunzil Allahu bika qari'a. I see you will not be guided, you will not see, you will not prevent yourself, you will not stop harming Muslims until Allah punishes you, until Allah gives catastrophe in your life. And Umar fell. And he said, ya Rasulallah, ji'tuka u'minu billahi wa rasulih. I came to you to believe in Allah and His Messenger. وَمَا جِئْتَ بِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. And what you brought to us from Allah. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, Allahu Akbar. And when the Sahaba way hiding in the back in the house of Abu al-Arqam heard the Prophet saying, Allahu Akbar, they started saying themselves, Allahu Akbar. And they knew that this is the glad tidings of Umar becoming as a Muslim. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba as they were loud in their takbir that Quraysh now will be attentive and they will know something has happened in the house of Bani al-Arqam and they may come. And he asked them to disperse and to go home. And Umar came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he declared, La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. I did not see actually that in the books that I looked at. So Umar becomes a Muslim. Now we said about Umar, when he believes in something, he believes in it. And he goes for it. And he embraced it and we saw how much he embraced Islam later on. So the first thing that he did, he said, after I went home and I slept, I was so happy. And I could not believe how much peace I had in me. In this faith that I embraced. And I started thinking, what can I do the next morning? How can I make Quraysh angry? How can I retaliate? Now he started thinking he wants to make jihad. The first day, he said, the first thing I thought, let me, who's the worst enemy of Islam after me? Now he's not an enemy of Islam after all. And he said, I thought about my uncle, Abu Jahl. So early in the morning, right at the break of dawn, I walk to his house. I go to the house of Abu Jahl and I knock on the door. Abu Jahl opens the door. He said, who is this? He said, Ibn al-Khattab, Umar. And he opens the door. Hello, my nephew. Welcome, my nephew. Marhaban bi ibn akhi. And he said, do you know that I became a Muslim? Abu Jahl, qabbah Allahu sabahak. What a hateful morning of yours this is. Why are you bringing me this bad news? He said, fa'alt? Are you serious? He said, na'am. I am a Muslim. He said, la taf'al. Don't do it. Don't. What happened to your mind, Umar? He said, bala wa af'al. And then Abu Jahl closed the door in his face and he said, qabbah Allahu sabahak. Hateful morning of yours. This is ya Umar. And then he said, I was not satisfied by this. Abu Jahl wasn't very, so I thought, I want to let the rest of Quraysh know. So he walked to the Kaaba. And he saw many people. He did not want to go and talk to every one of them. He said, who is the one in Quraysh that cannot keep a secret? He was the one that you give him something and he will spread the news fast. Who is the propaganda master of Quraysh? They said, Jamil ibn Muammar. This man cannot keep a secret. And he said, I walked, and this is now narration from Abdullah ibn Umar, his son Abdullah. He said, I was with him, I was a little boy, and I was with my father, and he walked to Jamil. And he said, Jamil, did you hear the news? Jamil said, no. He said, I am a Muslim. I became a Muslim. And Abdullah ibn Umar said, Wallahi, ma iltafata ilayh. Didn't even answer, didn't talk anything. He walked right away and started spreading the word. Umar became a Muslim. Umar became a Muslim. Umar rebelled. Umar rebelled. Saba'a Umar. And then, according to Abdullah ibn Umar, people came to Umar. Are you really Umar now rebelled against the gods? Are you a Muslim now? And he said, na'am. And they started beating him. They started gathering around Umar, subhanAllah. I mean, this man that was just the day before walking with his sword to kill the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the next day he's being beaten and himself being tortured in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this faith that entered his heart. He started taking a beating and beat them back. He was a strong man. And then they were too many of them and they started getting harder on him and he caught one of them. Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, the man that was killed in a duel in Badr, one of the pagans, he caught Utbah and he put his fingers in his eyes. And he said, Utbah, if you don't tell him to leave me alone, I will take your eyes out. And Utbah knows that this is serious. He's dealing with Umar and Umar will do it. He said, leave him. Just leave him. So they leave him and he leaves Utbah and they come back again and they beat him. And he captures another one and he puts the fingers in the eyes. And he said, you leave me alone or the eyes will come out. So they leave him and they said, they continue on from that day, early that day until sunset. And he was battling and fighting. And around sunset, a man came to them. And his name was Al-As ibn Wa'il, Al-Sahmi. And he said, who is this? Who are you beating up? They said, Umar. Umar ibn al-Khattab, and he said, are you crazy? Are you beating a person from the people of Bani Adi? Now this is a tribal society. He said, Bani Adi are known for their fighting, they're known for their big bodies and well built and fighting. Are you crazy to try to kill this man? And then Bani Adi will come and kill you all. So they left him alone. So that was the story of his first day in Islam. Getting up, declaring Islam, getting beaten up for it. And this is the story of his life was from then on. Saying the truth and saying it without fear. And he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the Muslim number 40. There were 39 Muslims and he was number 40. And he sat down with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they were meeting in secret a place in the house of Bani al-Arqam. And he asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, أَلَسْنَا عَلَى الْحَقِّ إِن مِتْنَا وَإِن حَيْنَا. Aren't we on the right call, on the right cause, on the truth, even if we are killed or if we let live? And the Prophet said, بَلَا وَالنَّفْسِي وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ إِنَّكُمْ عَلَى الْحَقِّ إِن مِتْتُمْ وَإِن حَيْتُمْ. You are on the right thing. You are on the truthful religion. Even if you're killed or you let alive. And he said, فَفِيمَ الْاخْتِفَاءُ. Why do we have to hide? Why are we hiding if we have the truth? وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ لَتَخْرُجَنَّ فَلِمَ لَا نَصْدَعْ بِمَا نُؤْمَرْ. Why can't we just declare this to people? And then in one of the first occasions where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala support the opinion of Umar, the revelation came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَاصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ. Declare what you are enjoined upon. Declare what has been revealed to you. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam organizes his 40 companions into two groups. On one, he puts Umar ibn al-Khattab, the strong one. And on the other, he puts Hamza, Asadullah. Two new Muslims, but strong new Muslims. True new Muslims, faithful Muslims. And he let them go out to the Masjid al-Haram, to the Haram of Mecca. And they started walking around the Kaaba declaring, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. With Islam of Umar, the Muslim religion, the Muslim history, as we studied that during the seerah, goes from the secret phase into the announcement phase, into the declaration of Islam. From the calling to the da'wah in secrecy into declaring da'wah right after the Islam of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, مَا زِلْنَا أَعِزَّةً مُنْذُ أَسْلَمَ عُمَرْ. We have been dignified since the day Umar became a Muslim. وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتَنَا وَمَا نَسْتَطِيعُ أَن نَطُوفَ بِالْبَيْتِ وَنُصَلِّي. Before Islam Umar, before the declaration of Islam, we could not pray around the house of Allah, around the Kaaba. We could not make tawaf around the Kaaba until Umar Aslam. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَ قَاتَلَهُمْ. When he became a Muslim, he fought them until they left us, until they let us alone, and we started praying around the Kaaba and making tawaf around the Kaaba. And he said, لَقَدْ كَانَ إِسْلَامُ عُمَرَ فَتْحًا. His Islam was a conquest to Muslim. And his hijrah, and we will talk about that inshallah next session, the day of his immigration was a victory to Muslim. And his imara, his government, was a mercy to Muslims. And that was Umar ibn al-Khattab, and that was his story of going into Islam. Inshallah, that concludes the first session about the life of Umar ibn al-Khattab, where we covered his life before Islam and the events that accompanied his entry into this beautiful religion of Islam. Inshallah, we'll continue on into his life with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the events of the Hijrah, and then the later on his life with the Prophet, and then his life after the Prophet with the first successor Abu Bakr, and then inshallah go on with this series. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those that hear the best of words and heed it and follow it and follow the best of role models in Islam, the heroes, the stars, the beacons of truthful and justice in this religion. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahumma ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. Open the floor for any comments or any questions that you inshallah may have about what we have covered. Inshallah, jazakallah. Kum salam. Question is, did Umar bury one of his daughters before Islam as it was the custom of Quraysh? And you're probably referring to one episode when they said that Umar used to cry after when he became a Muslim, and he would tell the story how he was burying his daughter and she was dusting him off and protecting him from the wind, etc. We'll get to that. The narration of that, the authentication of that is not very strong. But what we know about Umar is he really lived the life of ignorance to the full. He did everything that the pagans. Now, Abu Bakr, we know that he never kneeled and worshipped an idol. The Prophet ﷺ was protected from that as well. Umar, when he was before Islam, when he was a pagan, he lived it to the max. He did everything they did. He worshipped. So it is not unconceivable that he would have done something like that. But again, it's not in one of the major books of like Sahih al-Muslim or al-Bukhari or any of that. One thing that I missed to say, this Umar, when he became a Muslim, it was in the month of Dhul-Hijjah in the sixth year of after the Ba'tha in most accounts, and in some in the third year after Ba'tha. He was 27 when he embraced Islam, and he was the Muslim number 40. And he just to give you the type of how old was he when he was about 27 years old when he became a Muslim. Yeah, 26 or 27. There's some conflicts as well. Yeah. The question is, where did he learn? I mean, obviously there are no schools. Well, the one who taught him is Harb ibn Umayyah. Harb ibn Umayyah is father of Abu Sufyan ibn Harb. The whole family of Abu Sufyan are literate. Muawiyah was one of the writers of Quran, and they were well literate. And Harb ibn Umayyah used to teach some people how to write and read in Quraysh, and he taught Umar. He was the one that taught Umar how to do it. And we said his father pushed him to the max. Father of Umar was a rough man, and he expected a lot from his son. And that left Umar with a lot of that. Every time he mentioned his father, he mentioned his roughness, nothing else. No. Yes, Allah khair. Thus, in the back, brother Muhammad is saying that the story of Islam, Umar, is a proof that Quran was written on pages, on separate pages before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it wasn't written years after, as some people may imply. It's really a proof that the Quran was written on very early on, well documented and well written by the Sahaba, even when there were only few Muslims at that time. And the story of Islam, Umar, gives us a proof of that. Jazakallah khair. If there are no comments, please always feel free to participate and just bring any comments or any contributions that you like. This is a study group, inshallah, and we will all take the benefit from that, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us the best in our religion, and again to help us become better Muslims as we learn the lives and the stories of our heroes, of our role models in Islam, and among them, no doubt, is Umar ibn al-Khattab. May Allah be pleased with him. Yes, brother. This is an announcement. Jazakallah.